Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The firm of Harris and Marang. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm. Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Marang.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
Bryson! 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 Bryson!
I said it right before he sunk that putt. Bryson DeChambeau just sunk a putt to win the hole. Puts him in a good spot up against him and Griffin are up against Rose and Cantlay. Is that what you said?
Bryson DeChambeau, Ben Griffin up against Justin Rose and Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood, yeah. Sorry. Bryson just hit a big shot and he fist pumped and
then juiced up the crowd a little bit.
Juiced up the crowd a little bit.
You got to have that guy.
As much as I hate the doucher,
got to have that guy, man.
Listen,
I was a longtime doucher hater, but he's coming around.
Yeah. Like,
I think he finally kind of figured it out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm coming around. I'm Bryson DeChambeau.
You gotta have the guy that has the juice.
Well, welcome into the second hour of the program. You're missing the first hour. You can check that out on the Fan Podcast, 1051thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. We're also on the YouTubes as well, youtube.com/1051thefan. And the text line, 503-864-6326. Who's got a better chance to win this week? Portland State over Northern Arizona or Oregon State over Houston? How about my eyeballs not watching either of those games? That's who wins.
Yeah.
Except for I'm going to watch the Oregon State-Houston game tonight. I'm going to do it.
I mean, look, a Friday night game.
I'm going to do it.
Look, you have an opportunity to get weird. Friday night games in the Pac-12 region.
After dark, baby.
Pac-12 after dark on a Friday night is...
Friday after dark is where I live, baby.
Look, there is no weirder place than Tempe on a Friday.
I know.
Pac-12 after dark.
I know. That's actually the game I'm going to watch.
Yes.
That's the game.
It doesn't matter how good, how bad, how relevant Arizona State is. That place just has juju written all over it. That place is built on a burial ground.
As we take a stroll around college football, our next train stop lands in the world of the B1G. The B1G has a decent amount of games of consequence. Dare I say, the biggest game of consequence in the Big Ten, UCLA at Northwestern. The loser of that game is the worst team in the conference, and it ain't close. Northwestern, who just got blown out by your Oregon Ducks, Danny, are a 6.5-point favorite at home over UCLA.
God, those teams suck so much.
I'm going to take Northwestern to cover that spread. I'm not even a gambler. Give me Northwestern.
God, Northwestern's a touchdown favorite. That's just...
Yeah, dude. Give it to me. Yes. Too bad I'm not going to watch that game. The game of intrigue the most for me, you know, I've lost interest in the USC-Illinois game. I had it weeks ago.
It's because Indiana just dump trucked them.
That's totally it. Like, I mean, I'm gonna watch it. It's the best game in the 9 o'clock slate. I'm gonna watch that game, but boy, I'm not as excited about it.
No, I'm not. I
might have it on my laptop and watch soccer instead. Like that's the juice I've lost.
You're
on
a weirdo,
it.
Though. I'm afraid of this game.
Well, you should be.
I'm afraid of this game because
you should be because
Illinois is a wounded animal. They got embarrassed, and USC has stepped on landmines. Like, this is like, you know, when I talk about Oregon and making sure you're proving it in the games that matter, USC hasn't done it even in the regular games over the last couple of years. They have proven they can't be trusted in those situations. And so if you're USC, you have to go out there and you have to perform and you have to not, you know, commit seppuku on the field.
That's true.
Like, because that's what they've been prone to do. Last year, five games in the fourth quarter, they had the lead that they blew. You can't go out there and continue to do that.
Yeah, and also, I don't think it's just because Illinois lost. I think it's the narrative. It's the Lincoln Riley. It's the Esser get off the pot. Like, that's the situation. Now,
go losing, there, handle business.
Now, losing to Illinois because they got blown out would be, like, icing on that cake. I'm not saying, like, fire Riley or anything like that. But your season's lost.
It's not lost, but you're heading into the
stretch. But you're wandering.
This is the stretch that I highlighted before the season. This starts the stretch of games that matters the most this season. Illinois, Michigan, Notre Dame, Nebraska. Those are your next four games. And if you start out losing to a wounded animal in Illinois, and then you take on Michigan, who their offense is not good, but defensively, they maul you and they beat the hell out of you at the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to come out of a loss, who, Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, again, yeah, great. Awesome for USC. So you
take the bye.
Yeah, they get the bye week going into taking on Michigan. At least they get Michigan at home. But yeah, this is an important game for this is their season kind of defining stretch, because after that you finish with Northwestern, Iowa, and then you wrap up with Oregon and UCLA.
Well, I think the Big Ten is very similar. You know, I mean, all these games obviously are a manner of increase, but there is a lot of demoralizing losses that can happen this week in the Big Ten.
Yes.
If USC loses, that is a demoralizing loss.
That's a massive hit.
If UCLA, I mean, again, I don't want to spend time talking about the bottom of the B1G, but if UCLA gets shellacked by Northwestern, that is an embarrassment of a week.
You can't embarrass that which has no shame.
If Julian Sayin rolls into Husky Stadium and lays an egg, the sky is going to fall in Columbus, Ohio. It is going to be devastation in that,
but it's also if Washington again that game is it's the spread is growing. It was at 7.5.
Well, the game is getting bet all sorts of weird places.
Yeah,
it opened at like 13.5,
and it got
and Husky
all the
money
way down to 7.5.
Yeah, it came all the way back down.
It's up to 9.5 now.
I have no idea what's happening in this game.
If you're giving me 9.5. Give me the Huskies to cover.
Because I have no idea what's happening in this game. And we'll do our Northwest picks here in a moment, because I don't know what Julian Sayin is at all in any way, shape, or form.
It's his first real road test, and that place is going
to
be lit.
I have no idea what to tell you, but I also know my Cougs put 28 on the Huskies. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what's going on there. Indiana, trap game at Iowa. Trap game at Iowa. If you come off a 60-point victory against Illinois to walk in, wave at the kids, and get beat,
you go into Kinnick,
that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt.
That place, you don't go in there. We've said this for 24 years, since Kirk Ferentz has been there. It doesn't matter what level Iowa is playing at, you're going to leave that game sore. They're going to come in there, they're going to punch you in the mouth, and I'm interested to see, can Indiana play that game of, I don't care how big, how strong, how physical you are, can we still light up the scoreboard?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get Iowa chasing points, the game's over.
Dare I say this? This just popped into my head. The two teams in the Big Ten this weekend that could absorb a loss and the sky's not falling are the Huskies and the Ducks, if I'm being honest.
Because of who they're playing? And where they're playing?
No, just because of the expectation. Yeah, who they're playing and their expectations of the year. You know, Oregon's a young team, and this year was a lot of, well, I don't really know what to expect from Oregon. So if you lose at Penn State in a whiteout at 4:30 at night, oh, okay, no big deal. Oh, the Huskies got beat by the number one team in the nation. Your sky's not falling. If USC loses, you're in trouble. Illinois gets stomped again, you're in big trouble. Yeah. If Indiana stumbles after a big win like they easily could in a trap game, that's in trouble. Can UCLA's program get worse? Yes, it can. Getting blown out by Northwestern in front of 12,000 people? That's bad.
Yeah, they don't care there. I've changed my opinion on Oregon. Not only in this game, but in this season, because this season
you gonna root
for
them? You gonna wear green?
No, God no.
Green and yellow, green and gold, green and yellow.
But
and yellow.
I think if you're talking about we new evidence, new positions, right? Oregon has looked like one of the best teams in the country.
Agreed.
So if that is the bar, you can't absorb a loss here. I don't care if it is a whiteout. I don't care if it is Penn State. Mm. These are the games that you have to win if you are going to be looked at as such.
I know.
And now, in the end, like when you come Big Ten championship and college football selection, all those kind of things, is it going to kill them if that's their only loss of the season? No, absolutely
not. No, they'll still
not.
Get in.
But the idea of Lanning and the Ducks and what they are supposed to be or what they have looked like so far, this should not be a game that is "quote unquote" acceptable to lose.
Well,
do you get what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying, and we kind of talked about that yesterday. I don't think it's acceptable to lose. It's not what I'm saying. I think there is more of a parachute in a loss, and same for the Huskies, to where I don't see that anywhere else in the Big Ten.
That's fair.
Again, one loss will not end your whole season for any of these teams in the Big Ten, whether it's your Trojans or the Ducks or Ohio State or the Huskies, whatever. But a lot of these games, if you lose, you will come out of it not feeling great unless you are the Huskies or the Ducks, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's okay to lose. I'm saying because we don't really know what the expectations are for this Ducks team. So I don't have an issue if they go in there and lose by a touchdown.
Are the expectations higher for the Ducks or the Trojans?
I think this year...
it's the Ducks. The Ducks were picked to win 10 games.
No, expectations are higher for the Ducks. Mm-hmm. I think what's at stake is higher for USC.
I disagree in that.
Because Dan Lanning ain't getting fired. Lincoln Riley could get fired.
He's not.
But he could.
No. He can't.
He has so much pressure on him that he could absolutely.
No. Unless they lose every game for the rest of the season, he can't get fired. He's too much money. It's too much money.
But the aspirations might be higher for Oregon. Mm-hmm. I think the pressure is higher, without a doubt, at SC.
See, I disagree. I disagree on that side of it.
Because I think you could even truth serum Ducks fans, and they don't know the expectations of this year. I know what they want. But they don't know the expectations because they don't know how good this team is. That's why you can land on the cushion if you lose to Penn State. And I think the Huskies are in the same boat.
Year two of Jed Fish,
that defense has problems all over it, without a doubt. But your offense is fun and wild and sexy. And so you can absorb that. I think Oregon's in the same boat. I do.
I think where we deviate is somebody texted in, expectation higher in Oregon, pressure higher at USC. I don't think that's necessarily the case. And I think I get where particularly Oregon fan would come at it from this perspective. And I'm not like mad at you. So don't think about it in that sense.
Me or listeners?
No, just in general, like Duck fan. Mm. Because I think a lot of us, all of us, were like, I don't know with Oregon. Yeah.
I got an idea.
But the way that they have played has changed my expectations. That's how I evolve with basically every team. Is like, okay, I think you're this. And that's what's great about college football, is because there's so much volatility, those expectations change throughout. Like, nobody looked at Florida State until after week one, and we went, oh.
Fair.
And now we're adjusting expectations. Like, the expectation is, if Castellanos is healthy, that they're that team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what they are. You look at Clemson, we know kind of who they are. The expectations are gone. With Oregon, the expectations have risen for me. You go out, I don't care what shape Oklahoma State is in. They are a top four conference program. They're a power four conference program.
Without a doubt.
You embarrass them in a way that you don't see that happen in the power four. That performance made me go, okay, I understand where Oklahoma State's at, but... That is a different level of expectation.
But I think if you pull us out of this market and you drop us in Athens, Georgia, whose life is SEC,
they don't care about anything outside.
And you ask me, are you impressed by Oregon blowing out Oklahoma State? Their answer is no. That program is a dumpster fire.
They're not impressed by anything.
But I'm just saying, I think you have to remember that yes, they are a Power Four squad, but outside of the narrative of, you know, We spend money to win, and the sound bites that came out of all that. If you take all that noise out, it's a top program in the nation, blowing out a team that's taking on water.
I mean, I said the same thing. The expectations have changed for me for Indiana.
If Oregon plays UCLA and blows them out by 50, my opinion does not change on Oregon. My opinion is cemented that UCLA is a bad program.
Let's go back to our preseason bets. When we put our money on teams, on overs and unders. You took, we had $100 to spend, and you put 40 on the Michigan under.
Yep.
You put 10 on the UW over, 20 on the Iowa over, 20 on the Oregon over.
Yes, sir. Which was 10 and a half.
Yes. So your expectations already were higher. And then you put 10 on the Michigan State under, which I think it's going to be just fine. I took 20 on over on Indiana, 20 on under Oregon, 30 on over Illinois.
Which don't look good.
Doesn't look good. And 30 on over USC. My expectations for Oregon were that they would win 10 games. That's what I thought they'd win.
And mine, by this math, would be 11.
Yes. And what is the one game on their schedule that's probably going to decide that?
Tomorrow.
So if your expectation is that they're the over.
Tomorrow on DVR at 9 o'clock at Patrick's house.
Yes. But
don't text me.
If your expectation is the over, then if they don't win this game, it is a disappointment.
If they don't win this game, Penn State needs to beat Ohio State so they could get a rematch in the Big Ten title game. And that would get them to 11.
But that's kind of what. Mm-hmm. Now it's not in your hands. And by your own admission, their expectation is higher.
Yep. Expectations at Oregon are higher. I agree.
Yeah.
Pressure is higher at USC.
Okay.
You want to take a pee break? We'll take a pee break in the ACC.
You'd be that bad, huh?
No.
Okay.
I'm talking about in our road trip here.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
we're on the road trip. Oh, we're driving around America, checking things out.
Stop at the gas station?
Stop at the gas station in the ACC.
Check the men's bathroom. Go, ooh, that's a disaster. Go to the women's restroom.
Pick up a little sushi.
Yeah pick up a little. Ooh,
we're making another pit stop real soon.
Maybe. That'll be in the Big 12. Splatter all over.
That
everywhere.
Is Big 12. That's what Big 12 countries are good for.
We'll take a pit stop in the ACC. And why my team is so bad now? Ah, I wanted this to happen so bad and will it into existence, and it just didn't. We'll go to the ACC next. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryder Cup's getting spicy.
Hello, my love.
Hello, my love.
I love it. You're sitting over here. You're getting super golfy.
I love golf.
This is a really awkward position to be in.
You're weird. I love golf, dude. High end golf is great. I can't watch the minor tournaments. I'm a major Ryder Cup guy only, really. Scheffler in the Olympics.
There's the Valero Open. Little preemption to the big tournament. The tournament before the tournament's like who's hot coming in.
I don't really get the waste management.
The tournament before the tournament.
What, Scottsdale, right?
Yeah. No, I'm the five.
They get rowdy.
I'm the five biggies in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense.
That's about it for me.
It is nuts though how like you watch a guy do this, you're like, I could do this, and no, you can't.
I've never thought that about a professional athlete in my entire life.
No, how simple they make it look.
Oh, well,
it's just like
they're professional athletes.
I know, but golf is one of those things where it's like they're not they look like you.
Well, and it's one of those where even myself, I've been I don't go out and hardly play ever. The last time I did was our anniversary, I think last year. At the old Manzanita Golf Club, but I go out feeling good. I'm like, I think I can go do this. And we get out there and I actually swing a club. I'm like, oh wow, I am awful.
Mm-hmm. I suck at this.
Yeah.
I've done a bunch of, I use an AI app. It captures a ton of video in my swing. And I'm like, I feel like I'm doing X or Y. And then I watch the video. I'm like, that's not what happened there at all. That's not. Why is my brain painting this picture of I'm doing this, but in reality, it's not even close to that. What is lost in translation here? What exactly is going on?
Golfers don't look like me. I look like golfers.
No, you, Tyrrell Hatton.
What about him?
He looks like you.
He looks like me?
Yeah.
I want to be Shane Lowry. I like that guy.
I mean, there's no shortage of
a lot of hand pies. That guy's eating a lot of Irish hand pies. Yeah, guaranteed.
There's no shortage of folks from the island who resemble your particular stature.
My name is Patrick.
Mm-hmm. And you are Irish, right?
Yeah, I got a lot of it.
I would take looking like my old neighbor and schoolmate, John Daly? Ben Crane.
Oh, there you go.
You know?
Ben still, you went to school with Ben Crane?
I did.
Yeah, he's a bearded guy.
I grew up with Ben. Nice. Like, we played on the same soccer team from, like, first grade on.
Yeah, you know, he kicked a ball around with people.
Yeah, not me. I've never done that. I've never done that.
You know what? In fact, let me check the poll.
I've never done that. It's easy. Oh, I'm so jealous. Thinking about going to a college football game this weekend for an hour away from my house. So jealous. Mm. I like had a brief moment there in the break where I was thinking about living in Spokane. I was like, maybe I should move to Spokane. Then I was like, don't do that, bro.
<Never mind.
laughs> Don't do that, bro.
First response to the poll. Does he not play soccer in elementary school? I bet you during PE they once played soccer.
I don't think so. I don't think I ever played soccer in PE.
Right now the poll is 77.4 to no, of course he has. 22.6%. Yes, I'm very gullible.
Mm. Well, I would vote yes on that because I lived through it, so I know.
Did you?
I did.
I don't think you did.
I did. Well, we stopped and looked at a landmark that was kind of boring, so I apologize for that. And Daddy's still got to go pee, so we'll make a pit stop in the ACC next. Why I can't.
Giant why, ball of yarn.
Why my team just can't get it together this year. We'll take a small peek, a small little peek at the ACC. But first, there's Rust with Sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Web Gems is next. Everybody's favorite. We'll do that at 11:45. We'll take a little hiatus from our road trip around college football.
Or will we?
Or will we? Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. But our next stop takes us to the land of the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, that hosts two teams from the Pacific Coast Conference. I wanted Cal to be so good. What? What?
We kind of have to pivot.
Por qué?
Breaking news in the Portland Trailblazers. Scoot Henderson suffered a left hamstring tear.
Oh, hey, that's not good.
He will be out for 4 to 8 weeks.
4 to 8 weeks. Well, it's a good thing the season doesn't start for like four weeks.
I mean, hamstring tear, not good.
Hamstring tear, which
tear's
means
not good.
Repair.
Yeah.
Repair means you can't do anything for 2 months. If you think he's coming back in 8 weeks, you're out of your mind. The one time I don't take my phone out of the studio during a break.
You didn't leave the studio. You were right there the whole time.
No, I went to the bathroom.
Oh, that felt like a long break.
Yeah, it was a long break.
Scoot's out 48 weeks. I don't think that's a good deal. It'll be fine. He's a kid.
I mean, this
he'll
is,
heal up.
Well, I mean, this is a season where he was going to have to kind of figure some stuff out because there's another guy at that position that's going to be back next year.
What, the old man?
Yeah.
He's washed, though. Nobody cares. Sorry, I'm just joking. I'm just teasing. I'm just joking.
I feel god-awful for the kid.
Scoot, he'll be fine. He's a young kid, 4 to 8 weeks.
Young and spry.
Yeah. You keep saying this, like 4 to 8 weeks for a hamstring is going to be normal for a guy who can't train, who can't do anything
for four to eight weeks. I'm fully aware. I'm not trying to...
And again, I'm not trying to doom. I'm not trying to doom and gloom this, but like if he's back before the new year, it'll be a shock.
Yeah. I think it's tough for Scoot. I don't think it really has much to do about the Blazers. I think it tells you who's going to start at point guard.
Well, I think we know the starting lineup now.
Yeah, and I think the starting lineup is what it should be, in my opinion. I think Drew Holiday should start at the one, and I think Shaden should start at the two.
I don't think it necessarily means Shaden's going to start at the two.
If we're looking
what, at start at the three,
no, I don't think Shaden's going to start.
If we're looking
they
at
both don't start
4 to 8 weeks, just figure it before because it says an expected to return to basketball activities in 4 to 8 weeks. So even 8 weeks, even on the generous end of that, we're looking at Thanksgiving, right? Because we're in late September now.
That's what I'm saying. And yeah. So you have ramp up time, so which I would imagine
that's a
would
month-ish
probably be
into
a
the
month.
Season. So you're looking at that's
the new year,
15-ish games. before he returns to activities. And so, yeah, I mean,
you're looking about probably a new year.
Yeah.
That's just such a bummer, man.
Did you expect him to start, though? I didn't.
I expected him to have a legitimate opportunity to start. I think Drew, if
opportunity, yes. No, I think he was going to beat out.
If I don't think you're talking about Drew starting at the one. I thought Drew was going to start at the two. That's what I thought. That's the way I thought this was going to go. I thought he was going to get Scoot at the one, Drew at the two, two at the three, Denny at the four, and Donovan at the five. That was kind of what I figured was going to happen.
Not the Yong Bong?
No, God, no.
Not the Yong Bong?
No, he's not ready for that. What
do we figure he gets? 10 minutes a night?
No, I think he's closer to 17, 18.
Okay.
I think you're looking at Donovan for probably 26 to 28, mm-hmm. and then you're going to probably get some small ball Denny that they try to work in there somewhere or another, Denny at the five. And I don't know how much you're going to do that now with the Western Conference getting a lot bigger, but that's a major bummer, man. That sucks. Like that.
Well, you have a lot to talk about on Media Day on Monday.
Yeah, you know, I went to the Blazers unveiling. They brought in a couple of us media for the video boards yesterday. And let me tell you this: those things rule.
I saw pictures. They looked really cool.
The
picture had weird depth perception. It looked like
lowered. Well, no, not just that. It was dark. They darkened the arena kind of like game day to like really make the video boards pop. I tried like 8 different settings on my phone to really get it. And it came through kind of burned.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned it into what they call like action mode to try to dial the glow from the boards back, and it did a better job. But I walked onto the floor through the tunnel, and my first reaction was, whoa, okay, this is pretty cool. It definitely modernizes the arena a ton. But this is just, Scoot's had so many already just like, are we really? Like just kind of injuries. He's had, you know, the ankle, he got the concussion. He's been dinged up when he's had opportunities, and this was going to be a legitimate opportunity for him. And I'm not saying the season's lost, but it's now you're playing catch up. You're playing, because when you're rehabbing an injury, even when you're around the team, you're not playing. You're not, it's like in football. If you're not a part of the team, you're not a part of the team. And it's just,
you might not like this. I don't think the expectations or the outcome of this season really changed by Scoot missing 15 games.
The outcome and expectations for him do.
Well, yeah, for him do.
Okay, which one of these guys is 35 years old? Which one of these guys is 21?
Well, that's also why I'm like not freaking out about it.
I'm not freaking out about it. I'm looking at it from not from a Trailblazers perspective. I am looking at wholly from a Scoot Henderson perspective. This was his legitimate opportunity. And it's not to say that he can't get back on track, but this is just kind of another derailment.
Yeah.
God dang it. I literally have an article that's publishing tonight for my season preview. It's the first one, and it's called Challenges and Opportunities, and it's Scoot Henderson.
Rip it up.
God.
Start from scratch.
Bless, there's 4,500 words in that thing.
Who is more upset, you about Scoot or me about Cal losing to San Diego State last week?
Me.
I'm pretty pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I wanted Cal to win the ACC.
Oh, you wanted that opportunity there just because the ACC is so weird?
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, I saw, I think it was the Sickos Committee on Twitter, which is, you know, it's the college football, just sickos. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, what about a Cal in the ACC title game? Like,
Yeah, no, that's what I want.
I mean, the ACC is so weird. You know, we went to do this pit stop in the ACC. It's like,
they're 5.5-point dogs to Boston College. I don't know squadouche about any of these ACC teams. The only ACC team I knew about was Clemson, and they're terrible.
Okay, so there's three teams I think worth considering right now in the ACC.
Justin Rose, spicy.
Florida State, obviously. Georgia Tech.
Obby.
I'm going to throw a third one in here.
If you say Duke, I swear to God,
No, they're 2-2. I love that. Look at you going hard in the paint. Yeah, like that.
I was like, I will not listen to more Duke is good talk.
No, not Duke is good. Darian Mensah is good.
Yes.
I'm fine with that. I'm very pro Darian Mensah.
I'm fine with that.
But Louisville takes on Pitt.
Louisville had some expectations this year.
And they are 3-0. And they are only 3.5-point favorites on the road in Pitt. But I want to see, does Louisville kind of have a little bit of, they're not going to be a team like vaults into the top 15 or something like that. But like, could they be a back end 18 to 25 ranked team that all of a sudden now you've got three teams that have like legitimate ACC title aspirations and you kind of get to see how this unfolds? Like that to me is what has become the race in the ACC.
I will live behind that. I'm okay with that. As long as you don't make me watch another Stanford game, I'm okay.
You know, so this is Louisville's schedule coming up. They've got Pitt, Virginia, and then at Miami.
Ooh, baby.
But then Boston College, Virginia Tech, Cal, Clemson, SMU, Kentucky.
Boy, how stoked is Clemson to have a week off?
You know? Boy, do they need it.
Yeah, just don't look at us. Nothing to see here. Yeah. Pay no attention.
Please disperse.
Miami's sitting pretty, too, because Miami doesn't play a game, and they could be number one in the nation next week.
Yeah, honestly, Ohio State could win that game. Ohio State could win that game against Washington, but if it's close.
100%, they'll drop. They'll put Miami up. Miami's got good wins.
To be honest.
They beat a ranked Notre Dame. Don't forget that.
To be honest, right now, Pate has hammered this on his show a million times, and I think he's dead right. Who has a better resume in the country right now than Miami?
Nobody.
Why are they not number one?
I have no idea. I meant to do this yesterday. I wasn't sure how we were going to do 10 toes down, and then I decided it to be, I think we like it, listener interaction more, so you guys can ask us questions on Thursdays at 12:15. But a 10 toes down statement that I have right now in college football is I think Miami is the number one team in the nation.
Yes, and to be honest, Miami...
Will they win it all? I don't have that. Are they the best team? At the end of the year, I don't have that. But right now, the best team in college football is the Miami Hurricanes.
Like,
and it drives me crazy because I don't like Mario and I don't like the Vampire, but the Vampire's played really, really well.
They've gone out there and they've handled business.
And Mario's not making mistakes. Now, do I expect him to be clean all year? No.
You expect Mario to Mario.
I expect Mario to Mario. Let's just hope he does it in the regular season and not in a playoff game.
Like, why is Ohio State getting 52 first-place votes? Based on a game against Texas that was a rock fight.
Yeah. And
against an offense that's not good.
And it's a giant question. Texas is the most confusing top 25 team, not Notre Dame or Illinois. Because why Notre Dame and Illinois are in the top 25, I got no idea.
Scrolling.
Illinois is in the top 25 to make this a big ranked matchup against USC. That's the only reason they're in.
I agree.
But Miami's got the best. Miami's looked the best from a complete standpoint.
And they
offense, defense.
They played Notre Dame.
They have no real glaring holes.
South Florida and Florida. Like, yeah. that's a good schedule.
Yeah.
Like, you can say what you want about Florida's offense.
I kind of wanted him to smack Florida a little bit more, but.
I mean, 26-7 is a smacking.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a smacking.
The winner of this weekend is going to be Miami. I'll bet you Miami's number one come Monday.
And you know what we get next week?
Sizzle me.
Miami, Florida State.
Hell yeah, brother.
At Doak.
Hell yeah, brother.
That is game day, of the week.
Game day will be there, won't they? Is there a better game next week than that? I doubt it.
No. I think we have a couple good games next week.
Let me see here.
But I believe after is the big week. Let me pull up the top 25.
Vandy, Bama, Texas at Florida.
There's a revenge factor.
Boise State and Notre Dame.
Plenty of fun games.
Oregon State and App State.
Penn State, UCLA.
Ugh.
Yikes, Doug.
We get to see Oklahoma without John Mateer.
Yeah, there's no game that comes anywhere close. Although if Mississippi State handles business this week.
Yeah, I bet you they get routed. And
they probably do, but let's say the Mississippi State.
We have the U versus Me Bowl next year, Duke at Cal.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to watch that game.
But Mississippi State A&M is probably the other one that's on there. That's,
that yeah, game be, day will be at Miami, Florida State. Yep. Yeah. That's the big game next week.
I'm juiced for that one.
The ACC is such an interesting, stupid little conference because it's not very deep. But it could have two of the best teams in the nation. And one of them's not Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, think about that. Florida State, if Florida State, you know, we keep talking about this game being weird and the line being weird on it. And we don't know what Castellanos' situation is. By the way, is it Castellanos or is it Castellanos?
I go Llanos.
Well, if you're going to go by the proper, like, Spanish pronunciation of it, yes, it is Castellanos.
But how does he pronounce it?
I don't care. The proper Spanish.
Deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
I'll never get it out of my head.
That is the proper Spanish language pronunciation. It's Castellanos.
Where is he playing at?
And if he calls it, and if he says Castellanos, then he's just doing it wrong.
What state is he playing in?
Florida.
Okay. So what is it?
I don't know. He's not from Florida.
Florida also another Spanish
Boston
name.
College.
Yeah, that's what I was going with. Yeah, like,
Florida also another Spanish
name.
He's
Castellanos.
I'm going to look that up in the break.
There you go.
But I mean, if Florida State walks out here and proves this line wrong and just kind of waxes Virginia tonight, then two of the best teams in the nation will come out of the worst of the Power Four conferences. That impresses me.
Yeah, you never really know. And that's what the fun about college football, man.
Oh, this road trip will continue, but we'll take a little side detour for Web Gems coming up next. 2001. Where were you and what were you about? We'll do that next. That's Danny. I'm Patrick. 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
Alrighty, everybody's favorite here, Web Gems. We do it every single day at 11:45. Got a lot to get to in the second, in the third hour, excuse me, of this show. We'll have our final thoughts on Oregon and Pennsylvania State University. Talk about my boy. A win for Lane Kiffin would do ... And then we'll finish up our college road trip through into the Big 12. We'll also come back to the Northwest, where we'll come back to home base and make our picks for those games for this week. But in Web Gems, Rusty brought this to my attention, thinking about the last time the Mariners won the American League West.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Was in 2001. These are some things to remind you that we old.
Ooh, here we go. Hit me.
Number one song on the radio, because we listened to the radio back then. Mm-hmm. Fallen by Alicia Keys was the number one song.
What's that movie that she did with Jeremy Piven? Smokin' Aces?
Well, I can't say I saw that.
Ryan Reynolds?
Sounds about right.
Smokin'
sure.
Aces?
Yeah.
I'm going to go full dude right now. Your boy had a massive Alicia Keys crush.
I still have a massive...
jungle, wet dream tomato.
I still have a giant Alicia Keys crush,
yes.
But she don't play that way.
Yeah, but look... I just remember, like, I knew who she was, and I was like, oh, you know. And then I saw her in that movie, and I went, oh, I was not familiar with your game.
In 2001, Shrek was released in theaters.
Have you gone back and watched the first Shrek?
You want to know something terrible?
Mm.
Yes, I have two children.
Have you never seen it?
Never seen it.
Shut yes, you have.
Front door.
Never seen
yes,
it.
You have.
No, I haven't. No, I haven't seen Shrek for no reason other than I haven't.
It's so...
My kids don't love Shrek, so like we don't
so,
watch them.
It's so good. But also, if you... It's like... if you go back and watch the first Toy Story, it's the same thing.
Well, mm-hmm. Toy Story.
Well, I know, but like...
I've seen it.
The animation difference
yes.
from Shrek 1 to Shrek 2. You yeah. don't... It's like watching sports when we were growing up.
Yeah.
We're like... Oh, or, you know, like a new video game system comes out. Like we go from 8-bit to 16-bit, 16-bit to 32-bit. We're like,
yep.
Video games will never look bad. Look how realistic this looks.
Yeah.
And you go, and then you go back and you watch it, or you go back and play that game. You go back and you watch the first Shrek, and you're like, was this made in the 70s?
Well, and think of it this way, too. How different would that movie have been, and would it have spawned
with
the
Farley.
Sequels if it was still Chris Farley?
Yeah. What's funny is, if you haven't seen the interviews, number one, Farley voiced the entire movie. It was done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it was entirely done. Chris Farley didn't do a different voice. He, like... Mike Myers did
yeah. Mike Myers has a specific voice.
He does
yeah.
the Scottish voice
yeah.
that he just kind of
yeah. Well, yeah, his dad from Soy Murd and Axe
yeah,
Murder.
Yeah, yeah, great.
Fat bastard.
Underrated Mike Myers.
Yeah.
Movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
Farley just
look at the size of that boy's head.
Yeah. Farley
virtual
just
planetoid.
He did his normal voice.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what show this was from. They had Myers talking about it. He was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do my voice. I want to do something wholly different. But what's Farley's brother name? His brother?
There's a couple. There's a Kevin Farley.
Kevin's the one that does all the stuff. It looks just like him, right?
Yeah, he has two. There's Kevin and oh boy, but there are two brothers.
But
yes.
Anyways, he's on there talking about it, and like he goes, like he says, like Chris finished it. It was done, and like they weren't sure what to do with it, and then Mike Myers came in and just did that, and it was just awesome.
Harry Potter was the number one movie. The first Harry Potter was the number one film.
Are you a Harry Potter guy?
I am a Harry Potter guy.
I didn't...
Not a J.K. Rowling guy, but I'm a Harry Potter guy.
I enjoy the Harry Potter movies. My kids love the Harry Potter movies.
I enjoy the movies. I read the books. Yeah.
I didn't
I like Harry Potter a lot.
I didn't watch
good story.
Any of them.
Again, J.K. Rowling, jump a cliff.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't watch any of them until maybe the second or the last one came out. Like, that's like... I think
it was like the last one comes out and you're like, oh, I'll catch up on this.
Well, it was I had a knee surgery.
I went to a midnight showing of Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Oh, there you go.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's what I did for when they re-released the original Star Wars trilogy in theaters.
I remember
went to
that.
A midnight showing of that.
I did the Lord of the Rings, the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that which one is that? The
Two Towers?
Two Towers.
It's Battle of Helm's Deep, dude.
I was home
that's best scene in the entire trilogy.
I was home on leave on
when
that one.
When you read the books. That, it, dude. Helm's Deep in the books is so good. So
the book was better. You would be.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying the book is better. I'm just giving you hell. I mean, the book is better, but what I'm saying is the Battle of Helm's Deep is the best part of the trilogy written and the trilogy video. On screen. Thank you.
I will always remember that because one, the theater was packed to the gills when we got there late and we were literally in the front row. I was home on leave and a bunch of kids, like 14, 15, 16 year olds, something like that, were banging on the door outside trying to get in because their friends had got in and it was sold out. And they banged on the door for like 2 minutes during the movie. And me being the grumpy old man that I was at like 20 years old, walked over, kicked the door open and just said, "What?" And these, like, you see the blood leave their face. They're like, "Can we get in?" I go, "No!" And slam the door shut, and the whole theater just started clapping. And then I sit back in the front row and cranked my neck up 80 degrees to watch the rest of that movie.
Lastly, the iPod had not yet been released.
That one hurts.
Yeah.
That one hurts.
Not the iPad, or the iPod.
Or the iPod Nano.
The iPod doesn't exist anymore.
It exists in our dreams.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Nano? Like the little... Totally. That little clip thing was so rad.
And the last one for you Mariner fans out there, Julio Rodriguez was 8 months old.
In Ichiro's rookie season.
Yeah, he's 26.
I know, but still.
But that was still a long time ago.
Has been.
Right?
Overrated.
He should have won the MVP that year.
He did win the MVP.
He did. He won Rookie of the Year and MVP.
I'm sorry. It was the second year that he went nuts and finished second.
Was he the only one to ever do Rookie of the Year and MVP? I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Grizzly Adams had a beard. Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
Yes, he did.
All right. Loaded hour number three coming up next. Stick with us as our college road trip. We're having dinner. And dinner's in State College in the great, great state of Pennsylvania. Starts with a Y. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.